Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our Sunday morning learning at Midrash Yom Rishon, the first Sunday back after Sukkot. I'm going to take you back to Sukkot. I'm not going to take you back to Sukkot in terms of cooking and meal planning, preparing, shopping, eating. I'm going to take you back to Sukkot because it is in this week's Parsha, Parshas Noach. We just learned Bereishis. We're coming up to Noach. And quietly, at the end of Parshas Noach, we meet Avraham Avinu. And we meet Avraham Avinu's wife, Sarah. And when we meet Sarah, she has an unusual name. One time in the Torah, at the end of this week's Parsha, Parshas Noach, Sarah is called Yiska. We need to understand nothing in the Torah is by accident. We can think of the Torah, Lahavdil Aleph of Dalos, as a puzzle, so to speak, of the Ribono Shel Olam. And there are a lot of different pieces, and they're not put together. And if you put them together, what emerges is such a beautiful picture. But you need to be like a detective with a lot of siyata d'shmaya, divine assistance, in order to understand what the Ribono Shel Olam is telling me. Sarah's not called Yiska for no reason. Why is she called Sarah when we meet her at the end of Parshas Noach? That is what we are going to be the detectives for today, what we are going to uncover and study. So we have just celebrated Chag of Sukkot. I'll just tell you one cute joke. I wanted to call the shiur Sarah Imenu, Aaron HaKohen, and the mystery of Sukkah in the Torah text. So Rabbi Charko, who I thank very much for inviting me to speak, said, I don't think we should put the word Sukkos in the title. We're not going to want to go back to the Yom Tov of Sukkah. So I said, let's call it Sarah Imenu, also known as Yiska, a woman of valor. So we have just celebrated Chag HaSukkos. And when we dive in, we call Chag HaSukkos. I can't hear. Zman Simcha Seinu. It is the time of Simcha. In fact, I was just reading by Rabbi Eli Melech Biederman. I just saw it on Shabbos, so it's not in your source packet. And he brings down, you never really leave the holy days. How do you keep the Yamim Noraim, the month of Tishrei, with you? If you strive for Yir HaShamayim, you can have Rosh Hashanah in the middle of the year. And if you strive always to be a Chozer B'Tshuvah, a repentant person, you can have Yom Kippur in the middle of the year. And if you strive to be happy with mitzvos, then you can have Sukkos in the middle of the year. The essence of Sukkos is that it is Zman Simcha Seinu. Zman Matan Torah Seinu is Shavuos. Zman Chayrus Seinu is Pesach. And of all the Shalosh Regalim, the one known as Simcha is Sukkos. Sukkos. We have read of the demise of Rosh Rabbeinu. I am so sad every year when Moshe dies. I mamish have a very hard time closing the book of Devarim. I read the final psukim of Perek Lamed Aleph over and over and over again. I don't want to leave him because he's alive today, but he dies. And we say chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek, and with humility, excitement, passion, fervor, hoda and shevach tal kodesh baruch, we say baruch, shechianu v'kimanu v'yel ezman hazeh, v'reishus baruch elokim es ha-shamayim v'es ha-aretz. As sad as I am to leave Moshe Rabbeinu, that's as happy I am. That's as how happy I am to open Bereishis, a new year, a new beginning, a new start, new growth. There better be new growth in the new year, new learning, new insights. As the sages famously declare, Maseches Chagiga 9b, Ve'eino dome shona pirkel mea pa'amim, l'shona pirkel mea ve'echad. You can't compare someone who learns their studies 100 times to someone who learns 101 times. Why not? What is it teaching you? Someone who learns 100 times, in fact, you should know the Gemara there actually calls him a Rasha. And someone who learns 101 times, the Gemara calls him a Tzaddik. You learn something 100 times, you're a Rasha? Does that make any sense? 100 times means I'm finished. It insinuates a person who thinks he has reached the apex, he has reached the peak of the mountain, there's no further to go. 101 means I'm striving for new growth. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says you close the Torah, you got to open it again. You gotta be the person who's the 101st time. So we come to Parshas Noach. And at the end of Noach, we meet the first patriarch, the first matriarch, the founder of the Ummah Yisraelis, along with his wife. And though it is true that the story really comes to full form, Parshas Lech Lecha, we do in fact meet them at the end of Noach. So let's look at your handout, please. It's the first source on your handout. It's Bereishis Perek Yud Aleph. Says it in English, Genesis chapter 11, verse 26, Pasuk Chavav, through Pasuk Lamed Beis. Let's look at the source. Vayichi Terach Shivim Shana, and Terach lived for 70 years, and he gave birth to Avram, Nachar, and Haran, and these are the offspring of Terach. Terach gave birth to Avram, Nachar, and Haran. Haran gave birth to Lot. So we have a family tree. Vayamas Haran al Pnei Terach Aviv. Haran died in the presence of his father Terach, in the land of his birth, in Ur Kasdim. And Avram and Nachar, the two remaining sons, decide it's time to get married. While the name of Avram is Sarai, the name of Nachar is Milcah. I'm reading from the Pasuk. Bas Haran. Okay, so Milcah is the daughter of Haran. And now the Pasuk tells you, Haran is Avi Milcah, Avi Yiscah. Okay, so Haran, who died, had Lot. He also had two girls. Their names were, the Pasuk just told you, what are their names? Milcah and Yiscah. It's very clear. From the level of the Pshah, we know nothing about Yiscah. She is the daughter of Haran. Who's Avram married to? Sarah. And Sarah was barren. She did not have offspring. And Terach took Avram his son, and Lot his grandson, and Sarah his daughter-in-law, the wife of Avram his son. And he went with them from where Kostim, and they start to journey to the land of Canaan. They come to Haran, and they dwell there. And Terach lived, and he died. Okay. Who's Yiscah? Why is she called by this name? From the level of the Pshat, we know absolutely nothing. I wrote in my notes, it is important, compelling, interesting, and perhaps puzzling. Of course, nothing in the Torah HaKadosha is by accident. So the next thing on your source sheet tells you, under that series of psukim that we just looked at, Yiscah, if you break up the word and you remove the yod, you find that the root word is, it's on your sheet, Sukkah. It's right there. Sukkah is a booth. The original word, even though we call it sukkos, the original word is sukkah. The part of speech is noun feminine. Let us learn. We're going to go on a whole journey today, and we're not going to answer yet about Sarah. First, we have to understand the essence of sukkos in order to understand why Sarah is called sukkah. We have just completed the celebration of Chag HaSukkah, but I told you, we're going back. Chag HaSukkot is also Chag HaAsif, the time of the gathering of the produce. It is also Zman Simchatenu or Zman Simchasenu. Let us begin. So the next thing we must establish is Chag HaSukkot is Zman Simchasenu. We, of course, have not established that. The sages, in their wisdom and divine inspiration, Ruach HaKodesh, have told us that Sukkot is Zman Simcha. This is going to be very, very important at the end of this year when we start to glue all the pieces of the puzzle together. Let's talk about Sukkos, Sefer Devarim, it's on your handout. So the Torah tells you, Chag HaSukkos ta'asa lecha shivas yamim, you should celebrate the holiday of Sukkos for 7 days, the aspecha migayincha umiyakvecha, when you gather in from your threshing floor and your wine vat, the time of gathering, Chag HaAsif, the aspecha, asif, okay? The samach, the bechagecha. So who in fact tells us that the Torah is that Sukkos is the umtav of Simcha? Not only do Chazal establish it in our tefillos, but who's the source? The Torah. V'samach b'chagecha. You shall rejoice in your holiday, you, your son, your daughter, your slave, your maidservant, the levi, the convert, the widow, and the orphan and the widow that are in your gates, i.e. in your cities. Shivas yamim tachog l'Hashem elkacha b'macham asher yivchar Hashem. For 7 days you shall have a yantuf, a chag for Hashem in the place that He will choose. Hashem will bless you with all your crops, with all the work of your hand. The Hayisa Achsamech. You should know, according to the Torah text, the word Simcha is used by Sukkos 2 times. Okay? By Shavuos, it's not used once. By Pesach, it's used, in other words, no times. By Pesach, it's used once. And by Sukkos, it is used 2 times. And that's why we say, V'samachta v'chagacha v'hayisa achsamech. They're putting these two psukim together, which I have just put for you on your handout. Doubly rejoice on Sukkos. Zman Chayroseinu, we went free from Egypt. Zman Matan Toroseinu, Moshe gave us the Torah at Har Sinai from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zman Simcha, Sukkos. Furthermore, let's look at the next source. It's from Vayikra Perach of Gimel on your handout. On the 15th of the 7th month, when you gather again, the gathering in the crops, Shavayanta for Hashem for 7 days. On the first day it is the Shabbaton, the day of rest. On the 8th day it is the Shabbaton. And you shall take for yourself very famous words, V'lakachtam lechem b'yam hari, u'lakachtam lechem b'yam harishem pri etzadar, take an esrog, kapos tmarim, take a lulav. Rashi is the one who explains. If you look at the psukim with Rashi, he tells you what you should take. Anaf eitz avos, take for yourself hadasim, arve nachal, take for yourself aravos, Usimachtem, note the word again, and it's in bold, you shall rejoice before Hashem for 7 days. Havayanta for Hashem, it is an eternal statue for generations in the seventh month. Basukos teshu shivas yamim. You have to sit in the sukkah for 7 days, every native in Israel. And then the next words on your handout are highlighted for you. Why do you have to sit in a sukkah for 7 days? I don't like bees. I don't like when it's cold. There are slugs outside my sukkah. In the evening, you have to watch where you step, schlepping back and forth. Why do I have to sit there? Laman yedu dorosechem, so that the generation shall know, ki basuko so shafti esmeneshav, in Sukkos, I'm not going to translate it, I settled, the Israelites dwelt, when I took them out of Egypt, I am Hashem your God. Very good. Sukkos is the Yom Tov where we live and commemorate again each year the journey of our forefathers. We left Egypt and we were in the desert for, unfortunately, a very long time. As the pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, on your handout, Halach, the Karasa, Ba'azna, Yerushalayim, the pasuk that is constantly and famously associated with Sukkos, go declare in the ears of Jerusalem, says God to the prophet Yirmiyahu, so says Hashem, Zacharti lo chesed ne'urayach, I remember the chesed of your youth when you were a young nation. Kaiso, you did chesed for me, for Hashem. Ahavas kilulo sayach, the ahava when you were a kala, when you were young, before we were even married, a matan Torah, you did a chesed for me. What was it? Lachdach acharai b'midbar b'eretz lo zeruah. I told you to leave, and you left. For 1/5 of the Israelites that left Egypt, b'chamushim ala b'nei Yisrael. Only 1/5 left. The exodus from Egypt was a great leap of, what would you say? I didn't hear. Did you say? Who said? Someone has to raise their hand. Whoever's saying has to raise their hand. I can't hear. Yes. Faith. The exodus from Egypt was a tremendous leap of faith. Why? Because even though Egypt may have been full of impurity and idolatry, it was the only country and the only existence that these people knew. To leave for the unknown, to follow with blind faith to a barren land. What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? How long am I going to be schlepping for? Did you hear that there are snakes and scorpions as large as beans, says Rashi, in that desert? It's an act of amunah. And Hashem says, it's an act of kindness. And every year, when we journey from our homes to our Sukkos, we follow the same path of faith of Kal Yisrael. And in fact, next source on your handout. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nehiya B'dvaro. Next source on your handout is the Zohar. And in fact, the Zohar tells us that the Sukkah is called, it's on your sheet, Tzila Demei Menusa. It is the shade or the shelter. Tzel is shelter or shade. Mei Menusa, Amunah, faith. So the Zohar tells you, the Sukkah is a shelter of faith. Whose faith? Our faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and perhaps HaKadosh Baruch Hu's faith in us, that we would follow after him. So what was the reward for this Emunah Peshuta, this absolute faith that we demonstrated in the Almighty? We're going to go with you, God. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know if it's going to be so good in the desert. I'm not sure if I like the idea, but I'm going to leave with only the food on the back and the baby in my arms. I'm going. Zecharti lachasim nurayich, avas kulasayich, you are young, inexperienced, kala, but you came after me. So God said, I'm going to reward you. What was the reward? Besukos hoshafti es b'nei Yisrael. In Sukkos, I settled the children of Israel when I took them out of the land of Egypt. Turn your page, please, to page 2. What were the Sukkos? I did not forget that we are talking about Sari Menu. I hope you also didn't. Turn to page 2. We have to understand what were the Sukkos. Masachas Sukkah, 11b. Yod Aleph Amud Beis, Titania. It was taught in the Gemara. What is the Gemara going to tell you? They quote the pasuk that we're talking about from Vayikra Perachah Beis, pasuk Mem Gimel 23:43. Ki b'Sukkos so shafti es b'nei Yisrael. Israel dwelled. I dwelled Israel in Sukkos. What were they? So what were they? Two opinions of the Gemara, and it's a famous machlokas. Rabbi Eliezer says, Anane kavod hayu. They were clouds of glory. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva, however, says, Sukkos mamash asulahem, they were not clouds of goy, they were actual booths. This is a famous dispute in the Gemara between Rabbi Eliezer, who says they were clouds of glory, and between Rabbi Akiva, who says they were actual booths. Now, this is very interesting. The Yamin Yaakov, authored by Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Rabinowitz, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, notes that whenever there's a dispute between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, we almost always follow Rabbi Akiva. Except that here, according to almost all commentators, we follow Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Eliezer tells us they were not actual booths. What were the sukkos? Anane cover. So in this instance, we don't follow Rabbi Akiva. In this instance, we follow Rabbi Eliezer, and we go with the pshat and the interpretation and the explanation that the sukkos that we sat in as a result of our emunah were not booths like we have today outside our homes. They were anane cover, clouds of glory. Okay, first of all, I don't teach halacha. Why do we make boards? Second of all, I'm not sure that on our level we would be zocha to bring down the anane kavav. And we have to remember that God ensconces us in the anane kavav. We recreate that journey. And according to Rabbi Akiva, they were booths. So we go into booths to remember the anane kavav. Okay, the Gemara doesn't say and, the Gemara is saying or. And in this instance, we do follow Rabbi Eliezer, and in our case, it is actual booths, because I don't know that anyone amongst us can actually bring down the Anane Kavod, I'm not joking. Okay. So, as a reward for our Amuna Peshuta, Ahavas Kula Sayach, Lachdach Acharei Bamidbar Be'eretz Lo Zeruah, we left the Tumah of Egypt behind. Hashem ensconced us in the Tzila de Meimenusa. I'm going to ensconce you in shelter of faith. Shelter of faith is Sukkos. Sukkos are Anane Kavod, the clouds of glory. In whose merit did we merit the actual clouds of glory for all those years in the desert? Okay, let's look at the next Gemara, please. Tanis 9a. It's on your handout. Shlosha Parnasim Tovim Amduli Yisrael Eluhin. We had three good sustainers during our sojourn in the desert, and these are them, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. The Gimel Matanos Tovos Nitnu Al Yadam Ve'Elohim. In the Zchus of Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, we had three good presents, and these are them, Be'er, Anan, Uman. We had a well of water, we had clouds of glory, and we had manna from heaven. Be'er, Bezchus, Miriam. So now the Gemara is going to tell you, three Parnasim Tovim, three good sustainers, three great gifts, so we have to match them up. So the Gemara says, the well was in the merit of Miriam, Amud Anan, and I highlighted it for you, Amud Anan Bishchus Aaron, the cloud, the pillar, the cloud of glory was in the merit of Aaron, the man, the divine food from heaven, was in the Zchus of Moshe, and then the Gemara goes, and the Gemara says, when Miriam died, I'm quoting from the Gemara, which is on your handout, the Be'er dried up, so to speak, as the Pasuk says, and Miriam died there, and right after it says, and there was no water for the congregation. So the Gemara learns out from the juxtaposition of Miriam died, no water, it must be that when Miriam died, the well dried up. And then the Gemara says, V'chazor b'zchus shnehen. So how did they have water once Miriam died? It returned in the merit of Moshe and Aaron. But it was really for all the 40 years in the merit of Miriam Hanaviah. Okay. Miriam Hanaviah who crossed Yam Suf, Atikach Miriam Hanaviah Achos Arnatov V'yada, Vatitzenu Kol Nashim Macharei B'tupim Luvim Cholos, the Miriam who took tambourines out of Egypt because they had so much amuna with Zocha to water. She crossed Yam Suf with full faith. So God said, in the merit of your faith of crossing that water, in the merit of not throwing the babies in the water, Vatirena Hamialdos Esaloki Velo Asu Kasher Diber Kasher Tziva Lahamalach Mitzrayim Paro, I'm paraphrasing, they feared God. They didn't throw babies in the water. They crossed Yam Suf with Amunah through the water. So God said, in your Zchus, we have Be'er Miriam, we have water. Mace Aaron Estalku Anane Kavod, when Aaron died, continuing in the Gemara, the clouds of glory departed. How do we know? Because right after it tells us that Aaron died in Parshas Chukas, the pasuk says, and the Canaanite king, the king of Arad, heard. Mashmu Hashama, what did he hear? Shama Shemes Aaron v'nistalku, and they covered. Wow, the foreign king, the enemy king, hears Aaron died. There's no more clouds of glory. Ukisaver nitno lo reshus lilachem b'yisrael. So he thinks they don't have their sila demei menusa anymore. They don't have their shade of faith, their protection. I can attack them. As the pasuk says, the people saw Aaron died, and the Gemara says, don't read it, they saw Aaron died, rather they were afraid because Aaron died. They're afraid because Aaron died, because now the Canaanite king's going to come and attack them. Hey. The Be'er and the clouds returned in the merit of Moshe. When Moshe died, they all were gone. No more man, no more Be'er, no more clouds of glory. Good. So Aaron, through his schusim, is indirectly responsible for bringing down the clouds of glory during this time in the desert. Why do I say he is indirectly responsible through his meritorious actions? Because the one who is ultimately responsible is the Ribono Shel Olam. And Klal Yisrael are responsible through their faith. Aaron was the facilitator, if you will, to bring down the clouds of glory that the people were worthy to gain. So we have thus far established, please look on your handout, and it's my own notes after Gemara Maseches Tainis. Sukkos equals, I underlined it for you, Sukkos we have established equals the Anane Kavod according to Rabbi Eliezer, and we hold according to Rabbi Eliezer. The Anane Kavod equal Amuna. Who tells us that? The Zohar. This is brought down in the Schus of Aaron HaKohen, and Sukkos and Aaron HaKohen and the Anane Kavod all represent Zman Simchasenu. Does everyone understand each stage in that underlined Nakuda? Before I go on. Good. When's the first time we see the word Sukkos in the Torah? Let's look at what is widely acknowledged to be the first time we see the word Sukkos in the Torah, and it is from Bereishis Perek Lamed Gimel. It's on your handout. What happens in Bereishis Perek Lamed Gimel before these two verses that I have quoted for you? Yaakov and Esav have a historic meeting. We all know Yaakov is very, very afraid. I was just talking to my son. We were walking to Shul Vidya Yamim Tovim, one of my 10-year-olds. And he was asking me, I don't remember what it was based on, why somebody divided something up into different places. I can't remember what it was. So I said, Shmuel, there's an expression, don't put all your eggs in one basket. If the fox comes and attacks that basket, you're going to lose all the eggs. But if you put it in three different baskets, he attacks one, you have two. And then I said to him, who does this remind you of? And he said, Yaakov Avinu, because we all know that famously, Yaakov Avinu divided the camp. If Esav attacks this one will survive. Very good. So what is anticipated to be a meeting of slaughter and war ends up being a meeting of peace. Esav forgives him. They hug. Everybody's bowing down. Everybody survives the meeting. And the psukim tell us, okay, it's on your hand, Bereishis Perek Lamed Gimel, Vayashav Bayamahu Esav Ledarko Seirah. Esav went back his way to Seir. By the way, Ledarko. He returned to being the evil person that he was. He returned to his way. A truly repentant person does not go back to his way, Apidrash. He goes back to become a new person. But Esav remained Esav of Russia after this meeting of peace. By Yaakov Nasa Sukkos. So Yaakov traveled to Sukkos and he built for himself a house, and for his livestock he made Sukkos. Therefore the place is called Sukkos. What are these Sukkos that Yaakov established? Keeping in mind that it is widely held that this is the first time we actually see Sukkos in the Torah, in Bereishis Perek Lamed Gimel, in reference to Yaakov Avinu. So what does Rashi say there? It's on your handout. Rashi teaches, Vayivin lo bayis. What do we learn from this? Shah Hasham Yod Chas Chodesh. Yaakov Avinu spent 18 months before he actually went back to his father in this place called Sukkos. He was there, says Rashi, Kayetz v'chorev Kayetz. Kayetz, Rashi tells you the seasons. He was there for a summer, through a winter, through another summer. How do we know? Sukkos, the first time it says Sukkos, it means Kayetz. Bayis means chorev. Sukkos means Kayetz. So what does Rashi tell you? He spent 18 months there. He was there through how many seasons? Three. You just saw it in Rashi. Summer, winter, summer. Good. Rav Sham Shofal Hirsch, that's the next source on your handout. I write Rav Sham Shofal Hirsch and my notes always like that. So for your reference, that's what that is. R-S-R-H, Sham Shofal Hirsch says, this was the first real house that Yaakov built for himself. This makes sense. He runs away. He spends 14 years in Yeshiva Shem and Aver. He spends time working for his father-in-law. Finally, on his way back, he says, I'm a man. This is my house. And from this, we infer if he built himself a house, he stayed there for a long time with his wives and his children and his flocks. And the place is situated on the other side of the Yarden, outside Canaan. So this is the opinion of Rashi and Rav Sham Shofal Hirsch on the Sukkos. We're not going through more Mefarshim now, because I want to take you back to Yiska. When it seems that the Shorish of Sukkah is actually mentioned way and well before Bereishis Perek Lamed Gimel, when we meet Yaakov Avinu in Sukkos. So the first time it is widely acknowledged that Sukkos appears in the Torah is by Yaakov Avinu. But I want to go back to the end of Perek Yud Aleph, which is this week's Parsha, Parshas Noach. We meet Sarah Imenu, and she is called Yiska. What on earth is going on? And now that we have established what Sukkos is everyone with me? Sukkos equals Zman Simchaseinu. Zman Simchaseinu equals Tzila Demei Menusa. It equals Anane Kavod. It equals Arna Kohen. Each one of those steps should be very clear based on the sources that we went through. Is it very clear before we go further? Good. So now I want to go back and look at the same excerpt from Perek Yud Aleph, which is the end of this week's Parshas Noach, that we began the shir with. But we didn't look at what the Mefarshim say on the word Yiska. We said, according to Pshat, the first time we looked at the end of Perek Yud Aleph, according to Pshat, we don't know who Yiska is. We know she's the sister of Milcah. We don't associate with her on the level of the Pshat with Sarah Imenu. That is totally unclear. Of course, we cannot learn Torah Shebichtav without Torah Sheba'al Peh. So now let's look back, please. I gave you the source again. You don't need to turn back in your handout. We're on the bottom of page 2. We're not going to go through the whole excerpt again. We're going to start with the pasuk that's in bold. And at the bottom of page 2. These are the same psukim we reviewed in the beginning, but now I want to review them in depth and start to uncover what's going on with Sarai, that she is Yiska. So the pasuk says, and it's in bold on the bottom of page 2, Vayikach Avram v'Nachar lahem nashim. The two surviving sons, Avram and Nachar, take for themselves wives. Shem Eshes Avram Sarai, it's underlined for you. Of course we know the first patriarch is Avram Avinu, the first matriarch is Sarai slash Sarah. They get married. And the name of Nachar's wife is Milcah, the daughter of Haran. How? Now that we mentioned Haran, let me tell you who he is the father of, says the pasuk. Haran is the father of Milcah, the father of Yiska. One time we have this unusual name, and then we resume the narrative. Sarah is barren, she does not have children. You can turn to page 3. Right. Who's Yiska? Rashi. It's on your handout. Rashi says, Zol Sarah. Oh, you should know it's not such a mystery. Who's Yiska? Sarah Imenu. Why is she called Yiska? Al Shem Shesocha Beruach HaKodesh. She was able to divine or to see or to gaze into the future through Ruach HaKodesh. V'shahakol Sochim B'Yafia. Everyone gazed at her beauty. So the Rashi is telling us that Socha means to gaze. She gazed into the future, therefore she's called Yiska. Or everyone gazed at her beauty, she's called Yiska. Furthermore, says Rashi, Lashon Nesichus, it is a reference, a language of nobility or dignity, just like Sarah is Sarara, which means aristocracy. Okay? Sarah is a princess, Yiska's nobility, so she's called Yiska. Okay, very good. Furthermore, the Baal HaTurim teaches, next source on your handout, the Abash, what's Abash? It's a system where you can interpret the Chumash as follows. The first letter of the Aleph base can be switched for the last letter. So Aleph can be switched for Taf. The second letter of the Aleph base can be switched for the second last letter in the Chumash, Shin. Third letter of the Aleph base Gimel can be switched for the third to last letter, Resh. So it's not confusing. If I had a blackboard, it would be very, very clear. You write out the Aleph base in order from Aleph to Taf. then you write it backwards from top through Aleph. You understand? I'm helping you visualize, I hope. Then it's very easy. And Apash, Aleph is first letter equals last. Second letter equals second to last. Right? So therefore, the Baal HaTorim says, and Baal HaTorim speaks very much about Rosh HaTevos, Sof HaTevos, Gematrias, Apash Gematrias. Sarah equals Beis Gimel Tzadi. Because Sarah is Beis, Resh is Gimel, and He is Tzadi. In Apash, again, if I had a blackboard, I would do Aleph through Tav the right way. Then I would do Tav through Aleph backwards, and you would see very clearly. Shehu Begematria Yeska. Oh, begat in Gematria, says the Baal HaTorim, is Yiska, which is 95. Zohi Remes Lamasha Amichazel. Yiska Zu Sarah. So the Baal HaTorim is telling you, how do you get from Yiska to Sarah? Take the word Apash Gemara, figure out the Gematria. What do you have? Sarah. Okay. Baal HaTorim, the Torah, wrote his page with Ruach HaKodesh. So it seems like we're going through a lot of steps. But Moshe Emes Visaraso Emes, and the words of the commentators are also absolute Emes. Turns out Rashi and both the Baal HaTorim are quoting the Gemara for you, Maseches Megillah, on your handout, Yudalit Amud Aleph, says Megillah 14:8. So the Pasuk says, and on your handout, Avi Milka V'Avi Yiska. Right? We've established that. The Pasuk says, the father of Yiska, the father of Milka, Yiska Zu. What does the Gemara say? Sarah. Lamanikrashma Yiska Shesachta Beruach HaKodesh. This is what Rashi told us. She foresaw in Ruach HaKodesh. What did she foresee? When she says to Avram Avinu, send away Hagar. And Vayira Hadavar Mirabene Avram Ha'odos Bino. Avram, the Bechinas Chesed, doesn't want to send away his son. According to... my mind's going blank for 1 second, but I hope they'll come back to me. Famous commentator on the Mishnah, 15th century Italy. Who said it? I can't hear. I hope they'll come back to me. Balser? Oh, thank you. Avadim Bartanura. Senior moment. Avadim Bartanura. That the 9th test. Okay, when the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos at the beginning of Pirkei, that tells us that Avraham Avinu had 10 tests, so the Baal HaTorim, thank you very much, says the 9th test was sending away Yishmael. The Bechinas Chesed should send away his own son. What is this? Vayira Davar Ma'al Be'inei Avraham Ma'al, this one I should send away. Me who takes in every shlamazel off the street, I'm going to send away my own flesh and blood. Nevertheless, the Almighty said, Kol Asher Tamari Lachasar Shma Bekola. So the Gemara says that's the proof that she foresaw in Ruach HaKodesh. Listen to her voice. She is Ruach HaKodesh. You should listen to what she tells you. Dava Achar Yiska Shakol Sochim Biyofia. Everyone gazed at her beauty. With me? So we have established and we have seen Rashi and the Baal HaTorim and the Gemara itself that who is this Yiska? Sarah. Yiska, to gaze, she gazed in divine inspiration in Ruach HaKodesh. People gazed at her, and she was princely nobility. So the only time she's referred to as Yiska here at the beginning of the journey. They're about to embark on a journey to the Holy Land. They're following the Word of God. Listen to what I just said. The only time she's called Yiska, root word is Sukkah. Please listen, it's tremendous. They're about to leave. Why you ask me? I said listen 3 times. You're thinking, lady, we're listening. Just say it already. You're right. Here we go. They're about to leave a land of impurity for the land of Canaan / Eretz Yisrael. They're about to leave a place of idol worship for the Holy Land. They're about to follow God on an unknown journey to leave the known for the unknown. Because God said, wow, what does this sound like? Zacharti lachased nu'urayich, when you were a young people, an immature nation, when you were not yet established, you went after me. You didn't even know where you were going. Lachacha me'artzcha me'mradzcha me'bezavicha el'artz asher eka. Listen. When you get a little bit closer, I'm going to tell you where you're going. They didn't even know where they were going. They lived, they came from a place where those who believed in the one Almighty God were thrown into the fiery furnace. They, i.e. their children, 425 years later, came from a place where those who believed in the Almighty God were thrown into the churning waters of the Nile River. They left a place of persecution, a place of tumah, a place of idolatry for a new land. You're going to follow after God by His word, not necessarily knowing where you're going. Wow. It is fascinating. It is compelling. It is humbling. It is beautiful. It is empowering to understand that the journey of Knesset Yisrael, when we left Egypt, was taken 425 years earlier. By who? Avram and Yiska / Sarah. And in fact, I'm not making this up, that our journeys are their journeys, because if you look at the Ramban, beautiful piece of Ramban, and from Bereshit, it's on your handout, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Vav, says on your handout, Ramban to Genesis 12:6. Let's look at the Ramban. Vayavar Avram Baretz Ad Mekom Shechem. This is from the beginning of Parshas Lach Lecha, but Ramban is going to tell you a great principle. When he says, you better keep this in mind as you learn Torah. What's the great principle? Amar Lecha Klal. I'm going to tell you a foundation, a principle, an important nekuda of Torah. Tavino so. Understand it. Keep it in mind. B'chol ha-parshios ha-baos. And every parsha, as you journey forth, keep this in mind. Be'inyan Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov Hu Inyan Gadol. The principle I'm about to tell you, says the Ramban, is a very important principle in regard to the lives of the forefathers. He's Kiru Rabbeinu B'derech Tzara. Our rabbi said it in very short form. What did they say? Medrash Tanchuma, Chelek Tas. Key words underlined. Kol Masha Ira La'avos Siman Lebanim. Whatever happened to our forefathers is a foreshadowing, a foretelling, a siman, right, I can't really translate the word, thank you, for their children, the lachain, and for this reason, because their journey is our journey, ya'arichu ha'ksuvim b'sipur ha'maisos v'chafiros ha'be'eros v'shar ha'mekarib. That's why the Torah goes into such detail, to tell you about the journeys and the diggings of the wells and all the other happenings. Listen, you look through Bereshit, it seems like, seems like a storybook. What do I need all the information for? He's digging, they're schlepping, they're going country to country. I need all this information. Chaye Sarah, the Shidduch, I need it in 67 verses. He went to find the Shidduch, she gives him water, the deal is sealed, they go home, Isaac's praying in the field, he brings her home. What do I need all the details for? Sometimes the Shidduch takes a long time, even in our day. So the Torah says it's going to take a very long time. The Ramban says it straight out. Lachen ya'arichu ha'ksuvim. The Torah is very lengthy when it comes to telling you the stories of the journeys and the diggings of the wells and all the happenings. V'yachshov ha'chashuv bahem. And someone who thinks about them might think, kihilu eim dvarim miyutarim. One who thinks about this might think this is just extra stuff. You might think it's fluff. What do I need this all for? Ein bahem to'elas. I'm not saying it, the Ramban is saying it. A thoughtful person might think there's no purpose. It's taking so long, all these stories. I should have underlined the next words for you. When I was reviewing for myself last night, I actually underlined it. Please underline the next five words. And I underlined it twice. V'kulam ba'im lilmod al ha'atid. Or al ha'asid. I'm in the Ramban, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Vav. I underline Medrash Tanchuma, Kol Mashir, Lavo Simon Abanim. You also need underlined. Third line from the bottom, in the middle. V'kulam ba'im lilmod al ha'asid. You know why you need all the detail? It's not only telling you about the patriarchs, it's telling you about who? The future of Klal Yisrael. Ki kasher yavo ha-mikra le-navi, when the prophet, meaning Mishloshes ha-avos, one of the three patriarchs, when something happens to him, he understands from this, ha-nigzar lo-bo le-zaro. When a certain occurrence happened to one of the three patriarchs, says the Ramban, he understands it's something that's going to happen to who? His children. Thank you very much. And you should know that all the decrees of above, when they go from Koach Gezerah, the decree of the power of the decree. Al poel dimyon, to the symbolic action. This is a gzera that will be upheld according to all opinions. So what the forefathers did in their journeys was not only an actual journey or an actual digging or an actual finding of a shidduch, but it was symbolic for who? Knesset Yisrael. When? Till the end of time. Their journeys are this. This is a different shir for a different time. But Bris Milah, for example, according to the Bar Tanura, another one of Avraham Avinu's tests. This has been a test of Klal Yisrael through the Doros in our generation. It's not a Nisayon. Go back a few years to communist Russia. Go back a few more years to Nazi Germany. Bris Milah is a tremendous Nisayon. We need it all, says the Ramban. Kulam ba'im lomod al a seed. And the prophets, the three of us, understood when something happened to them, it was going to be for their children as well. Okay, so this means we're talking about the first journey in Avram and Sarah also fall into the category. It's telling you about the journey of Knesset Yisrael in the future. It was the journey of Avram and Sarah that became the journey of the Yotzei Mitzrayim. Did you hear? The journey of Avram Sarai / Yiscah became the journey of the Yotzei Mitzrayim, a land of idol worship, a land of idol worship. Who did Pharaoh think he was? A god. He would go down to use the bathroom in the Nile River because gods don't go to the bathroom. There was a time of genocide. Avram Avinu, there was only one Jew to kill. So I don't know if you could call a mass genocide, but whoever, whatever Jew there was, what did they do with him? They threw him into the furnace. It was a time when God said, leave Tuma for a different land. The journey of Yotzei Mitzrayim is the journey of all of us, of every Jew throughout history. Therefore, we can now say, Yiscah, Sarah, Sukkah. We're starting to put this together. But we haven't answered something. Okay, so they took the same journey. But what did we... Oh, I love it. What did we establish that Rabbi Eliezer says the Sukkos are? Do we see it by Sarah? Yes. Geschmack. Mamish baruch pokeach ivrim. Hashem gives sight to the blind. Let's go to the end of Chayei Sarah, not the end of Chayei Sarah, I'm sorry, the end of Perek of Dalet in Chayei Sarah, which I already mentioned. Are you with me? We're trying to establish that Sarah's name means Sukkah. No. We're trying to establish that the reason Sarah is named Yiscah, she has something to do with Sukkos. The only thing we established so far, based on the words of the Ramban and the Psukim, is that she too took a journey from impurity to purity, idol worship to freedom, Aver Layarding to Eretz Yisrael, the same journey of the Yotzei Mitzrayim, the same journey of all of us, Arbias Goel Tzedek. But Sukkot means Anane Kavod. Do we see it by Sarah Imenu? And the answer is beautiful. Look at Bereishis Perek of Dalet, it's on your handout. I told you, Perek of Dalet is 67 verses long. Who needs such a long perek about a shidduch? We answered that already. Let's look at the pasuk. By Yuvier Yitzchak, oh, they find the shidduch. He's praying. She's on the camel. She covers herself with a scarf. Beautiful. They're going to get married. And Yitzchak brings her to the tent of his mother Sarah. It's bolded for you. And he takes Rivka, and she's his wife, and he loves her, and he's comforted after his mother. I want to talk about what Rashi says there. I don't want to talk about the second matriarch and the second patriarch. I want to talk about Sarah. Ha'ohala Sarah Imo. So, what does Rashi say? On your handout. I'm reading from your handout. Vayivi'ahahala, she came to his tent, her tent, i.e. Rivka came to the tent of Sarah. V'na'aseh dugma Sarah Imo. Look at this. She becomes the example of the next Sarah Imenu. Klomar, I mean to tell you. V'harehi Sarah Imo. This woman is Mamish Sarah. How do you know she's Mamish Sarah? Shakaz mancha Sarah kayemeth. All the while that Sarah was alive, Kozman, all the while that she was alive. Hayaner daluk me'erev Shabbos. Le'erev Shabbos, her candle never went out. Bracha mitzuya be'isa, her dough never got stale. It always increased and was fresh. And it's underlined for you. What are the next words of Rashi? Come on, what are the next words? The Anan Kasher Al Ha'ohel. Wow, this is very compelling. We have established that Sukkos are the Amud Anan, Bishrus Aaron. When the people left Egypt, Lachtach Acharei B'Midbar Be'eretz Lozaruah, Hashem says, take the puzzle, find the pieces, put it together. I'm calling your first matriarch Yiska. When is she called Yiska? At the beginning of the journey, not at the end. When she's required to pick up and go, maybe she would have said to Abraham, listen, I'm out of here. Find somebody else. It's not for me. Maybe I want to go with Lot to Sodom. Lot's the brother. I'm not interested in this religion. I'm not interested in being Meshuvah, but find a different life. She had to find her Amuna and dwell in the Tzila de Meimenusa to follow after her husband, i.e. the Almighty, to some barren land. I don't even know where I'm going. Our arts of Shararaka, there's no GPS, there's no Waze. On the way here, I thought I messed up with Waze. My heart was pounding. I took off my scarf. I turned off the heat. I said, I'm going to be late. They don't know where they're going. Well, look at this. All the time that Sarah was alive, what rested over her tent? The Anan HaKavod. It doesn't mean a rain cloud was over her tent. We all realize that. The cloud of glory, of the divine presence, rested over her tent. When she died, the signs went away. When Rivka came, the second matriarch, the signs returned. Now look at your handout and let's look at the word Yiska again. Perhaps we could say Yod representing Shem Hashem. Sukkah we have already established. She, i.e., lived always, dwelled always in the Sukkah of Yod, Shem Hashem, the Sukkah of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Tzila de Meimenusa, the shade of Emunah. Is everyone with me? It's fabulous. Well, we're missing a piece of the puzzle. Hodu Hashem Kitov, Kili Olam Chasto. We're missing a piece of the puzzle. What are we missing? What connects Yiska to Aaron? You understand? It's in their merit that Klal Yisrael is zocho to the Anane Kavod. The first one who set the path for us was Sarah Imenu. The Ramban tells us everything that happened to them is a foreshadowing for the future for us. She traveled. She had the Anane Kavod, the Sukkah. Her name is Yiska. She had faith. She left impurity for purity, barrenness for the land of Eretz Yisrael. Aaron did the same thing. What Nikuda connects these two people? What? Ready? I'm going to tell you. Oh, well, if you looked on the handout, then you know. Okay. Sukkos, we started off by saying, is man simchaseinu v'samachta v'chagecha v'ayisa ach samech. Can we find the common thread of mida simcha in a person who always is willing to journey after God, come what may? Can we find mida simcha in these two leaders who were zocha to bring down the first Sukkos? And the answer is, you should know the answer, because if I'm up here asking it, it means yes. Let's look. It's unbelievable. It's on your handout. It says Genesis. It's at the bottom of page 3, okay? It's Perek, it's Bereishis, Perek, Chof, Aleph, Pasuk, Hey, through Vav. She finally has a child, Sarah. And Avram was 100 years old. I'm at the bottom of page 3. When Yitzchak was born, Sam Yitzchak, his son. But Tomer Sarah, and Sarah said, Tzichok asali alokim kol shomer yitzachak li, laughter God has made for me. Everyone who hears will laugh for me. We need to understand what the word tzichok means. Look at Targum Onkos, the very last source on page 3. Va'amera Sarah, Sarah says, chedva, you know what chedva means, joy or rejoicing. Avad li Hashem, God made rejoicing for me. She recognizes her simcha, kol dishama yechdeli. Everyone who hears will also rejoice for who? For me. So Targum Onkos, how does Targum Onkos translate tzchok? Chedva. That's going to be very important. Keep it in mind. Where am I up to in my notes? Okay, furthermore, Rashi says, turn to the top of page 4. What does Rashi say? Rashi himself uses the word simcha. Yitzachak li yismach alai. They will have simcha for my simcha. Medrash Agada, many barren women were remembered with her. I'm reading Rashi, top of page 4. Many cholim had refuah shalema on that day. Many tefillos were answered with her. Rav scho kaya ba'olam. When Yitzchak was born, Sarah had simcha / chedva, sort of the whole world. The women of valor recognized her simcha. Tzichok asali elokim, says Unklus, chedva, aved li Hashem. God made chedva for me, therefore they rejoice for me. You know, people feed off how you feel. If you go into a place feeling like a nebuch, people are going to perceive you as a nebuch. I'm sorry, it's a fact of life. If you go into a place feeling like a confident person, people are going to see you as a confident person. And if you go in somewhere exuding simcha, chedva, tzchok, then people are going to pick up on that simcha. So tzchok, chedva, simcha. She embodied the mida of simcha. At face value, this lady did not have an easy life. By all definitions, she did not have an easy life. Schlepping to a barren land, famine in the land, being kidnapped by Pharaoh, Abram's wanting to go to war, being kidnapped by Avimelech, barren for 90 years. The woman does not have an easy life. Finally, the son is born, taken for the Akedah, and her soul leaves her. Nevertheless, she was besimcha because she recognized the measure of blessing that the Ribbono Shel Olam bestowed upon her life. If simcha, look on the top of page 4 under Rashi, if simcha is Sarah, and Sarah equals Chag HaSukkos, Man Simcha Seinu Yeska, now we have to find the same simcha by who? Aaron. In order, we're Mamish putting in the final pieces here, everybody. You know what happened? I don't have time to tell you what happened, but I'm going to tell you anyway. This shiur sort of started, this first place I'm presenting it, Baruch Hashem, started to come together last year, Sukkot. And I could not get the connection between Aaron and Sarah. I couldn't understand what was the connection. All the other pieces of the puzzle together, and I'm lacking the connection. And my father-in-law was in the neighborhood by my sister-in-law, for Yantif, and I was going over it with him and talked about it. I couldn't get the connection. And then I'm davening Musaf, and I say, Zman Simchaseinu. And I could barely concentrate on the rest of Shemona Esrei. God should forgive me, because I ran over to my sister-in-law's house, and I went to my father-in-law, and I said, the connection is Simcha. You need to be besimcha to merit the Shechina resting on you. Sarah had it. Did Aaron have it? And the answer is, of course, Perek Shmos, Sefer Shmos, Perek Yod, I'm so excited I can't talk. Sefer Shmos, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yodalet, after a week-long communion at the burning bush, God is finally angry at Moses. Vayicha af Hashem b'Moshe, it's on your handle. The anger of God flares at Moses. Aaron, your brother, the Levi, he's going to speak for you. He's going to come out to meet you. Vira'acha v'samach b'libo. He is going to be happy in his heart. Targum Unkelus is very, very important here. The reason Targum Unkelus is so important for our thesis and our puzzle and our study today is because by Sarah it says Tzchok. By Aaron it says Simcha. Are they the same thing? Let's look at Unkelus. And the answer is yes, because how does Unkelus translate Tzchok? Chedva. How does he translate Simcha? Chedva. Look at Targum Unkelus, Al Shmos, Perek Dal, Pasuk Yodalid, Usikev, Rugza, Dashem, B'Moshe, the wrath of God flared at Moshe, and he said, Aaron, your brother, the Levi, it is revealed before me that he speaks well, Melala, Yemalahu, Ruach, Memalala, he's a speaking spirit, he speaks well, he will come out, he's setting out, Lekad Musach, to greet you, the Yach Zinach, Yach Zay, he will see you, the Yach De Belibe. Ah! So now we have established that her tzchok, says Rashi, is simcha. His simcha is chadva. Unkelus explains they're both chadva. Furthermore, look at Sfarno and Sefer Shmos, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yodalet. V'gan hineyu yotzei v'kwasecha v'ra'acha v'samach b'libo. What does Sfarno say? Afa pishahu yotzei v'kwasecha v'kavodcha m'pnei ma'oscha alav. He's coming out to meet you, Moses, to honor you because you're higher in position than him. Nevertheless, look at the words, they're bolded. Yismach b'li safek. He will have simcha for you without doubt, and he will be an interpreter, a translator with a full heart. What's the connection between Sarah and Aaron that they both merited to bring down the clouds of glory as they journey forth to a barren land? What's the midah that connects them? Simcha. The Shechina only rests, the Aname covered only rests, and that woman is not here anymore, but if now I have an answer for her. Perhaps we don't live our lives with a high enough level of simcha to bring down the Anane Kavod, because the Shechina only rests in a place of simcha. Please look at Masechta Shabbos. It's on your handout, 30b. She'ein Shechina Shura, lo mitoch atzvus. The Shechina does not rest if you're sad and depressed because you were kidnapped by Pharaoh. The lo mitoch atzvus. You're not going to be worthy to have the Shechina rest if you're lazy. I heard Rav Meir Twersky Shlita, one of the Rosh Yeshivas at YU, speak of his brother, Rav Moshe Twersky, Hashem Yukam Damo at the Shloshim. He said his brother, Hashem Yukam Damo, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, never asked anyone to do anything for him. He did. Think about what I'm saying to you. Pay attention today in your life. He never asked anyone, bring me a pan, get me a cup of water, do X, Y, and Z. Because he felt it represented the meat of laziness. And laziness, you're not zochot to Hashar Sashchina. Lo mitoch schok, lo mitoch kalus rosh, v'lo mitoch sicha, v'lo mitoch dvarim b'teirim. The Shechina does not rest if you're light-headed and you ridicule and you idle chatter. Ela mitoch davar simcha shel mitzvah. The only way to be zochot to Hashar Sashchina, the resting of the divine presence, which is expressed through the Adonai Kavod, is by the midah of Simcha to fulfill Devar Hashem. This is Sukkos, Zman Simchaseinu. This is our righteous foremother, Sarah. This was the great Aharon HaKohen. The path they followed is identical because Kol Ma'aseh Ira La'avos Siman LeBanim. As a reward for their Simcha, they were merited to bring down the Sukkah. As a reward for journeying with God, all the while besimcha under tzila de mei minusa, as David HaMelech tells us, ivdu es Hashem besimcha bo lufana birnana. You can see Pirkei Avos for yourself. I want to conclude with the words of Rav Hanan Adler, Rosh Yeshiva Reitz, Rosh Yeshiva YU, and in an article, it's on your handout, Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah, he writes, it's on your handout, second to last source, there is a tradition, Leika midi de la remiza be'oraisa. It's Aramaic. Leika midi de la remiza be'oraisa. It means there's nothing to which the Torah does not allude. Ladies, the semantic parallels that we have learned today are unmistakable, and clearly it leaves room to draw a subtle, or perhaps not so subtle, message. We meet Yiska, our foremother, who journeyed after Hashem from a land of impurity to holiness, unknown to the known. Yiska, she always dwelled in the sukkah of Hashem. She was zochot all the while that she was alive to the anan kasher ala ohel. Simcha, Sarah, chag hasukos, Yiska zman simchasenu. Aaron HaKohen, the man of v'ra'acha v'samach v'libo, chadva in his heart, led the nation. The Adonai Kavod came down for 40 years in his merit. And in our lives, in our times, as individuals and as part of Am Yisrael, we are called upon to journey after God, come what may. We leave the familiar for the unknown. We follow Hashem. Everybody in this room has their own personal wilderness that they must journey into after God. You're not sure where you're going, you never plan to be here, what does the Almighty want of me? I don't know, but I'm going to follow after him, because I'm following the path of Sarah and the path of Aaron. And as a nation, we also have barren wilderness that perhaps we're unfamiliar with. But if we follow after him with faith, tzila d'mei menusa, and joy, zman simchaseinu, we are truly following the footsteps of righteous Sarah, a.k.a. Yiska, a woman of valor, the path of our forefathers and foremothers, Leyotze Mitzrayim, who were zocha to the clouds of glory that would always surround them. May we be zocha to the ultimate journey as we finally leave this bitter galus, a very frightening election is upon us. We need tremendous si'ata d'shmaya. We should be zocha to the ultimate end of days, because on that day, the final journey will be accompanied by great simcha, last source. Ki nichem Hashem Tzion. When Hashem comforts Tzion, Nichem Kochar Vasah, He will comfort all of her destroyed places. V'yasem Midbara, the barren Midbar, will become like Eden. V'arvasa Kegan Hashem, the Aravos, the willows, will be like the garden of God. Sason V'simcha Yematzuba, it will be the ultimate rejoicing. Todah, at that time you will give thanks, V'kol Zimra, and the song of song, the voice of song. May we be zocha to follow this journey, to merit the ultimate simcha, when we will sit truly, not in wooden boards, but in the anane kavod that will ensconce and protect us forever in the times of Yemos HaMashiach and the ultimate gula. Amen ve'amen. Thank you everyone for your time.